The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
We are in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28, as Andrew alluded to. So take your Bibles, whether it's paper form or whether you have it on your phone or your tablet, and let's study the Word of God together this morning. The title I want to give today really is of that theme that you heard Andrew address. Pay attention, because wolves are out there. As we're seeing in this passage of Scripture, we are studying how Paul is wrapping up the end of his third missionary journey. We studied a portion of this passage of Scripture last week. Paul has left his Ephesus and left his effort of going through all of the most of his third missionary journey, and his goal was to strengthen churches. And as he's on his way back, the ship stops at a city called Miletus, and it's distance away from Ephesus, and so he sends messengers to call the pastors from there because time is of the essence, but he feels the urgency to strengthen them. He feels the urgency to encourage them. And we saw last week how that Paul, as he spoke to them, he shared about how his own life should be a model for their own living, and how we looked at the challenge for our own lives of our own self to say, can we actually say to people, not in a prideful way, but say to people that our lives should be an example to others and how that we should live or how they should live Christian living. We saw that Paul talked about three particular aspects of his life. He said that he served with all humility. He served the Lord. He served focusedly, and how that there's a temptation to be prideful, and that it's one thing to be confident. You can be confident and be humble, but you can't be prideful and be humble. Those two are contradictory. And how that we as Christians should serve with a great dependence upon God. Humility is recognizing God's position and our position to Him. That we recognize that whatever that we're doing, whether you stand in the pulpit and preach like I'm doing, or whether you teach a small group, or whether you're simply serving as a parent or as a grandparent, whatever it is for the Lord, because that's what Paul says, he's a servant to the Lord. So whatever that we're doing, as Paul says later in Colossians 3:17 and 23, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of Christ. So whatever you're doing, even at the workplace, you serve with humility. So even as an employee, you ask God, God, help me to do the best that I can to honor your name so that people will see Jesus in me. You don't want a terrible work ethic, because then they're going to say you're a Christian, you're a terrible work ethic. Guess what that reflects back on? Reflects back upon the Lord. And so everything, when you serve with humility, it means you are utterly dependent upon God. You recognize that when you wake up in the morning, you need Him to do whatever it is that you need to do. You're calling out Him. That's serving with humility. Second thing we talked about is how that Paul said to those pastors, says, look, I've spoke boldly, and he could honestly say, I have said everything I need to say. And he said, he used those words, and he said, I am innocent of your blood. We looked at the passage from Ezekiel of how he talked about the watchman in Ezekiel, where Paul said that he has said everything he needed to say. He shared the gospel, and I challenged us to think about, could we really say that? Could we really say that we've talked to every person that God has burdened our heart to speak to? And I challenge us to say, you know, we have to put feet to the praying. We pray for people that are lost. We want to see people that lost is saved. But also we have to be able to say, okay, have we done our part? Can we truly say that we're innocent of their blood? And I hope that challenged some of you. And maybe if you've had your great intentions last week and it didn't come to fruition, let just be a reminder again this week, okay? Let it just be a reminder and an encouragement to you to put the week behind you and say, okay, this week, Lord, I pray for those opportunities and help me to be honest in speaking. Now, we also talked about it's not just speaking the gospel to those who are lost, but also sometimes we have to speak truth, maybe to a brother and sister in Christ who needs that. And we need to also be able to say that we're innocent in the aspect. In kindness, as Galatians 6:1 says, that we bear one another's burdens for the Lord, but it says if anyone is caught in any transgression, let him go with gentleness and humility. We should not turn the eye to if we know a brother or sister who's in Christ that's struggling. Yeah, we can pray for them, but if you know that they're struggling, then go to them. Maybe they just need a word of encouragement. Maybe they don't need admonition. Maybe they don't need rebuke. Maybe they just need encouragement. And so we need to be there. The third thing that we saw in Paul is he's talking to the elders, and he said, look, I've not only served, I've not only spoke, but I've also just surrendered everything to the Lord. And how that my challenge to us is how that we all constantly, daily, have to die to ourselves to surrender to Christ. There is an initial death of ourselves when we come to Christ in salvation, but then there is a daily dying that we have to do. I mean, if we're honest, we would all say that our flesh crops up and wants to rise up and be in control. And there's a need for us. That's why Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, is what Jesus says. So listen, every one of us in this room, let's just all recognize that every one of us, our flesh, as long as you are breathing, as long as you're in this life, and until Jesus calls us home, there's going to be a battle with the flesh and with the spirit. And so it's a constant. This goes back to serving with humility. You surrender everything you have and you're utterly dependent, so you can die to yourself every day. And so even if you wake up in the morning and you have time with God at 6 o'clock, your flesh might crop back up at 5:30. And it's a constant dependence upon the Lord. And as we get to this passage of scripture today, Paul now switches the attention of not just looking at his own life. Now he gives them a charge to them. Think about this as Paul's final goodbye. What he wants them to get. What he wants them to understand. Remember, he's poured out his life. He served there for 3 years, teaching them, training them. And now he's warning them to make certain that they are actually going to do their job as pastors and shepherds to the flock. Now, I know immediately some of you are thinking, if he's talking to pastors, then that really doesn't apply to me. I want to broaden this passage of scripture and application. Certainly, I've talked to our staff even this week with Jared and Andrew and John, who's doing in a mentoring group, mentor class. And so part of our staff trying to teach all of us and reminding them this text is primary for us first. But secondly, I want you to understand something. We've asked you, those of you who are small group leaders, to help care for this flock. We need your help. I need your help. As the church grows, we have to understand that one or two or three people can't shepherd the entire congregation. I want to break it even smaller application. I want to bring it down to the family. Those of you who are leaders of the family, you have a responsibility to shepherd your own family in regards to making certain that your family is aware of the dangers that exist out there. If you depend only upon this moment of this hour and a half that we spend together to be protected, to be fed, and to be guarded in regards to the ravenous wolves that exist in this world today, then you are sadly mistaken. Certainly, it is my job to help equip you and to prepare you, simply giving that application and opening from the beginning that even though that this passage is dealing with pastors and elders, and that's the primary direction I want us all to hear, there is an urgency to be prepared for the falsehood that exists today. I want us to grab our minds and understand that it is easy to fall prey to something that is false, because some things that are false look so close like the truth. If you're not grounded, you will slip into falsehood. And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to hear this word this morning. And may we take from this the urgency, the need for preparation in the analogy that Paul gives. Because Paul, like Jesus, calls us as Christians the flock. We are sheep. And he speaks of those who are speaking falsehood, wolves. Jesus uses the same analogy. It was the culture of the day. Wolves were the primary enemy, if you will, of the wolves of that land. So it was the most treacherous, dangerous picture that he could say. And all of us, if you say that you are okay and you're fine and you can recognize them, you are now susceptible to attack. All of us need to be prepared and be aware. So I ask you this question even before we begin this morning. How are you preparing yourself to stand guard and be ready for the wolves that exist of false teaching today? How are you preparing yourself and preparing your family? Can they be ready to discern truth from falsehood? May the word of God encourage our hearts today. So let's read it. We're going to pick up in verse 28. Because we read through this text where Paul was challenging them. I just summarized that for you. He shifts gears now in verse 28 to give them a charge. Actually, it's an imperative that's here in verse 28, meaning it's a command that he has given them. And after he's told them that he's not shrunk from declaring the whole truth of the Word of God to them. Now he says to them in verse 28, pay careful attention to yourself and to the flock. Notice the conjunction. There's two directions that the care has to be given. To who first? Yourself. And secondly, to the flock. Now, to understand the context that we're talking about, let's read a little bit further, because I want you to see that contextually, meaning what he's talking about here in the passages that are around this, he's telling to be careful in regards to the teaching that needs to happen for themselves and the teaching that is happening by those that are around them that he's now calling wolves. Let's read the text again. Verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish you, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Let's stop there for this particular moment. You see, contextually, Paul is giving the warning that these people will come in, the wolves he's talking about, and they will speak twisted things in comparison to what he has taught them. So the context that is here of caring for themselves is to make certain, number one, that they are able to be grounded in the word themselves so that they could discern the wolves and the false teaching when it comes. Listen, you can't care for a flock if you're not caring for yourself. You can't care for your family if you're not caring for yourself in a spiritual manner, from a doctrinal manner. So it's urgent here that Paul is saying to these pastors, you need to make certain that you are caring for yourself first and foremost. So just understand practically, for me, for Jared, for Andrew, as your staff of this church, my charge to them, even this week as we talk together, we pray together, and listen, we are brothers that we serve together. We encourage one another. We pray for each other. We spur each other on. We challenge each other. If we're not being in the Word like we need to, if we're not memorizing Scripture like we need to, if we're not sharing the Gospel like we need to, why? Because we recognize that we can't be solo. We need help. And understand, one of the charges that I gave them is in the busyness of our lives. And I understand the cycle that they are in right now, because they have bebes at their home. And bebes make you not sleep. And so bebes make it challenging to be in the Word early in the morning or at nighttime. You can wake up and say, I want to be with the Lord. Right? So, but the challenge is, you know, for them and for myself, because I've been there, I have 4 kids, I understand the challenge, but there's an urgency to say, and this is for all of us, regardless if you have bebes at home, there is always something that can zap our time. So it's urgent that we make certain that we find time somewhere in our day to be with the Maker, to be with the Redeemer, because one, we want to be with Him, but two, we desperately need to be with Him. Because we don't know what might happen 5 minutes from now, 10 minutes from now, 30 minutes from now, 2 hours from now. You need to meet with Him. That's one of the ways that we care for ourselves. Listen, you want to do something for somebody else? You want to be an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ? Then first of all, take care of yourself. This is what Paul says to them. These are people that he's entrusted the church to. He's entrusted them to care for the body of believers that have come to faith in Christ. Remember, Ephesus was not an easy town to stand for Christ. It was a pluralistic society. It was full of multiple false gods. It was full of idolatry. And so some of these people have come from that society. They've come out of that. God has redeemed them. They've been saved, and God has drawn them closer to Himself. Much like the song that we just sang, though, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Just to make it practical, imagine some of those pastors who used to bow down to Artemis, that false god, and God had saved them, and He saved them out of those things. There probably was a temptation, possibly at time, to go back to that particular lifestyle when maybe it was difficult, because sometimes when it's hard to walk with Christ, we want to go to what's easy. So I'll just go back to what I used to do because that was easier. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. This is why Paul is saying to them, put it in context, you, while you're living in Ephesus, when everybody else is bowing down to the false god, take care of yourself. Make certain that you're standing strong in the Word of God. And so the same is for all of us. I urge you, I challenge you, as a brother to you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we all need to take care of ourselves and our walk with the Lord. Now listen, if it's been some time since you've had alone time with God, in this very moment, do not allow the enemy to beat you up. But let this be an encouragement from the Lord, as a drawing back to, as a word from Him, an ooing back to Him to say, come meet with me. Let this be an encouragement to you to say, this week, regardless of my busyness, I'm going to make time for the Maker. Be with Him. Why? Why? Because we need to not just be with Him. We need to grow in the Word of God so that we can be able to discern from what is truth, from what is falsehood. Now listen, Paul has given this word to them. Now Paul wrote a book later called 1 Timothy. Timothy ended up being a young pastor to this very town that he had planted. This is past this particular point in time chronologically. But what we learn, if you read 1 Timothy and you read 2 Timothy, you will realize that some of these elders didn't heed Paul's words. Some of them fell prey to false teaching. Why? Because they didn't care for themselves. There were probably some sitting in a group, much like this, when Paul is saying to them, you need to care for themselves. And some of them probably became problems and says, I got this, Paul. They probably think, man, I can handle this. Some 10 years after this fact, Paul has to write to Timothy because Timothy is the pastor of those people. And the fact was that some of them didn't take care of themselves and they fell prey. None of us in this room need to think that we are immune from any false teaching that exists. You may say, Pastor, I'm not being bombarded by any false teaching. What's going to make you prepared in 2 weeks or 2 years when a false teacher comes your way, something comes to your side, what's going to make you ready then? Even when people go into boot camp for the military, it's to prepare them for whatever may happen coming their way. Some of them go to boot camp and never go to war. Some of them go to boot camp and go straight to war. It's readiness. And all of us in this room need to be ready. Because there is war that's taking place right now. Even in this very room, war is taking place. The Lord God is working and drawing, speaking, convicting, encouraging. At the same moment, Satan and his demonic forces are putting things in your mind that you shouldn't be thinking of. He's drawing you away, trying to make you play mind games, trying to make you justify certain things that you're doing that you know you shouldn't be doing. And all of that, you have to be able to discern all that and say, God, may you help me hear what is true. And even, listen, you can be sitting in the midst of worship service like we just had, and it's awesome. And Satan can put some kind of garbage in your mind. That even in worship, you've got to say, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, get away, Satan. I'm singing to God right now. Don't think that just because you're here that He's not going to work. He's going to work hard. And so in this moment, I just want to encourage you that Paul was telling them to prepare yourself. So let me show you some of the danger. Keep your finger here and go to 1 Timothy with me. I want you to see what Paul had to tell Timothy of the dangers that happened and what Paul was having to tell Timothy what he needed to do. Remember, the context is about teaching and about doctrine. Now, why is it so important? And listen to me. And I want you to get this as you're turning. You can keep your head looking at your Bible, but just listen. What you believe determines what you do. Think about that. What you believe determines what you do. This is why Paul was telling them to be careful for themselves, because what you believe about God, what you believe about holiness, what you believe about godliness dictates, determines decisions, behaviors, the things that you choose to do or not do. And so when you are studying the Word of God, it's guiding you, it's rooting you. Such a great imagery as Andrew illustrated for us as we're talking about bind my heart to thee like a fetter. We want to be chained to what is true, but how prone that we are to want to just stretch that chain as far as we possibly can. The goal is not to see how far away we can get from God. The goal is to get as close to God as we possibly can. 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 3. So remember, this is about 10 years after we see Luke recording this event for us in Acts chapter 20. Remember in Acts 20, Paul is meeting with the elders. Now I want you to see and hear 10 years later what Paul's still having to urge. Timothy now is kind of a lead pastor over some of those elders, joining forces with them. Verse 3. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, that you may charge certain persons not to teach any doctrine, different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. You hear what Paul is now having to tell Timothy? Look, there's people among you who's now teaching these things about mythology and thinking about these speculations. He says, Paul, I need you now. Or Timothy, I need you now to go warn them. It's his job because here we are, some of those same people. You know what's heartbreaking? You know what's heartbreaking as a pastor? Is when you do see people who seem to be so rooted and years later seem to get led astray. Man, it's heart-wrenching. People who used to walk with the Lord, maybe have been leaders, teachers, and then just slowly ebb away. What's heart-wrenching in that is if we're trying to be good pastors is when we see some of that happening, you're trying to urge them to be alert and pay attention, recognizing, but they still are blind to that and still choose to go their own way. And what happens, what seems to be a simple justification, now begins to be a far and wide justification away from the truth. It is heart-wrenching. So practically, this is where I'm saying for us is we need to be rooted in the Word so that if we think that taking one step away in that very moment, we will recognize that we're stepping in the wrong direction. Because listen to me, practically, if your time with the Lord gets farther away from one another, it's easier to step into self-justification rather than recognizing if you're meeting with the Lord and you're walking with Him. As Paul says in Galatians 5, if I walk by the Spirit, I will not gratify the flesh. He gives a double negative there. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I will not, meaning I will not walk in the flesh. Why? If I'm walking in the Spirit, if I'm depending upon the Lord, I'm spending time with Him, I'm less susceptible than if I just randomly spend time with the Lord. Are you understanding that? So randomly spend time with the Lord means I'm randomly getting fed. I'm randomly getting discernment from the Spirit of God. And so then I'm depending upon myself. Oh, that's so important. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. You're in 1 Timothy. Notice what Paul tells him. Again, this whole aspect of pay attention to yourself. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 20. There's much that he says in Timothy we just don't have time to cover, but I want you to hear after he actually goes back to it. Maybe even one of your headings over probably verse 2 or 3, it talks about a warning against false teachers because some of them were spewing lies, and he even lists a couple of those people who walked away. But notice what he says about him in verse 20. O Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, where'd I tell you? It's a good book too, but we're going to go to 1 Timothy. See, I'm prone to error too. First Timothy 6:20. So now are you in the right place? I was in the right place the whole time. But verbally, I was in the wrong place the whole time. See, I was talking about Galatians 5, walking in the Spirit, and so I just kept on going with Galatians. Right? So 1 Timothy 6, here Paul is telling Timothy what he needs to do in context of warning about the false teachers. But hear him again. He says, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Notice this next word. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Given this imagery, guard it, protect it, to make certain that you are holding on to what's been given to you. Avoid getting into these conversations and the babble that you know is not godly or right or true. That doesn't mean you don't talk to lost people. Don't take that what he's saying. But he's saying, look, if there's someone who is constantly speaking contradictory things and they're just going over and over and over again, he said, just avoid that. There's times I've been in conversations with people that I've shared the gospel with them and I've been clearly given to them and spoken truth and spoke against doctrinal error, and they constantly hang on to those things and finally just said, you know what, I'm going to have to walk away from this conversation just because you're just not getting it. You're constantly speaking what is falsehood, and this is what the Bible says. I'll pray for you. You have to be careful. So we need to pay attention to ourselves. Now listen, I want to give you one more warning in this. And how do you care for yourself? Listen to me closely. You can actually be in the Word, studying the Word, and if you're not listening to the Spirit, you might could actually err into false doctrine if you're not grounded with other people. Let me show this to you. Keep your finger in the New Testament, but go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18. This is a passage of Scripture that we as pastors use actually to speak to people who are wondering or erring or becoming away from what is true. Proverbs 18:1, and then I'll make it in context, relationship to what we're talking about in Acts chapter 20. Because again, we're talking about paying attention to yourselves. Notice what the proverb says in verse 1 of Proverbs 18. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound. What's the word? Judgment. So listen, we have the Holy Spirit in us if we are Christians. And so if we were stranded on an island and all we had was the Holy Spirit and a Bible and you're the only person, that's all you need. But what we're going to see and what Paul actually talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 6, there were those who actually was holding to the Word, but they were susceptible to fall to false things and they weren't listening to other people speaking correction to them. So listen, if you are studying the Word, but you isolate yourself and you don't have other brothers and sisters to help you with the Word, you may come up with some great idea that you think is God gave you some kind of revelation to something new. But let me just give you this warning. If you've come up with some kind of new idea and nobody else believes in that idea, you're probably wrong. Thousands of years, 2,000 years of doctrinal truth, it's carried on, and there's been hypocrisy that's cropped up because people thought they had this great idea. Listen, there are false religious groups that exist today because there are religious groups, leaders in the history who thought they had a meeting with God. They had angelic visions. And I've said this to you before, I don't deny that they probably had an angelic vision, but the Bible also says that Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. This is why I'm saying to you, take care of yourself, because the wolves may not look like wolves. It is imperative that we root ourselves deep, deep in the Word of truth. So go back to Acts chapter 20. I want you to see, you hear the urgency. I could stay here all of our time in grounding ourselves and me just challenging you as a leader, small group leader, mimic an application to you. It's important for you to be grounded in the Word, because here's one of the statements that happens oftentimes in Bible study. Someone will say, well, I think this means this. And someone else says, well, I think this means this. Now, it's fine to give your opinion and your response to that, but as teachers, you need to be grounded in the Word. And sometimes you have to correct those wrong statements. If you're afraid of hurting someone's feeling by speaking the truth, you probably don't need to be teaching. Because sometimes it's hard to say. You can't just sit there. I'm going to make an application, because there was times ago where I would sit in small groups and I'd be afraid to say something. Someone would say something. It's like, oh my goodness, that is so wrong. And we all just kind of smile and say, okay, let's read verse 12. And we go to the next thing. And we just kind of ignore that. But let's hear the danger, though, small group leaders. The danger is if you just nod your head, what if that new baby Christian is sitting in that class and they're hearing that as an opinion of truth and they say, this is what I think it means, and you're not there to guide what is true, then that means that they've just automatically thought that that is true. This is why James chapter 3 says that you need to be careful if you're aspiring to be a teacher. Now, I'm not asking for teachers' resignations after that statement. I do just want to give an encouragement to you, and that we all need, listen, we all need to be in a small group and recognize we're learning together. There's times where I've made those comments where I thought that what I thought was right, but there would be someone who was wiser in the truth that had to say that's actually not correct, because let's look at the passage here and the passage there. We need to be teachable. We don't need to be prideful. Remember what Paul says? He served with humility. So we even need to be subjected to those who are mature in the word and learn together. So we see in Acts 20, Paul tells us to make certain that we are grounded in the word. But now look at Acts 20. So talk about caring for ourselves. But also he says, pay attention, verse 28, to the flock. To the flock. There's two ways of paying attention and caring for the flock. Let me just kind of draw your attention to some things here in verse 28. Notice the words that he uses. He uses the word overseer in verse 28. Let's read that. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. And the next phrase, to care for. Some of your texts may actually say to shepherd. Some of your texts may actually say to feed. There are three terms. I drew allusion to this to last week. If you go back up to verse 17, he calls them elders. In verse 28, he calls them overseers. And now he calls them pastors, shepherds. All three terms are referring to the same person. I'm talking about three different people. So I, as your pastor, am a shepherd. That's the care for. That's the word we get pastor from. And then I'm also an overseer. I'm also an elder. And the elder as the teacher. The overseer meaning literally what it means. I actually read a commentary yesterday that broke down this word overseer and went through all the etymology and looking at the Greek. And in the summation of this long paragraph said, this basically means you're an overseer. I'm like, are you kidding me? I didn't need all that Greek and all that etymology to know that an overseer means that you were over. See, you didn't even have Greek and you knew that. You were just... So oversee, meaning giving oversight to all things to make certain that it's meaning you're not just turning your back to everything that's going on, just showing up on Sunday morning and say, hey, everybody. But trying to oversee the small groups, oversee the compassion ministry, oversee the evangelism, oversee preschool ministry. Why? Because we care for your soul. That's why. We want to make certain that we're going in the right direction, that we're delighting, we're declaring, and we're discipling. So if we ever are erring away from that, our oversight is to make certain that we say, no, this needs to be this direction. So if someone comes up with a ministry idea, although it may be a good idea, it may not necessarily get us in the right direction. So we're overseeing. We're overseeing and making certain that when people say, hey, pastor, what do you think about this sermon? What do you think about this pastor? What do you think about this book? You know, so we're overseeing. Why? It's because we care for you. We want to make certain that you're grounded and strengthened and rooted in the word. And so Paul is telling them to make certain that they're caring for the flock right there in verse 28. So pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock to care for the church of God. Whose church is it? God's. I heard people say to me, that's your church, Pastor. And I said, no. I'm an under shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd, and God is the God of the church. If anyone ever says that's my church, now we understand, we talk about that in a personal way because we are endeared. You know, we mean well by that, don't we? Redemption Church is my church is what we say. That's what we go to. But we mean, it's God's church. Do we all know this is God's church, right? Belongs to Him. And so what Paul was saying, it was to remind them the high calling, he says. The Holy Spirit called you, to care for this church. Listen, I do not take lightly the calling to stand before you every week to give you the word. Because Hebrews 13 says, I'm going to stand accountable for all of you. That's a high calling. That's why it's important for me to spend early mornings to be in the Word so that I can teach the Word, not just throw something out of my pocket and just speak hot air and just waste your time for an hour and a half. I want to spend time with the Lord and I want to care for you and I want to give oversight because when I stand before God, I'm going to be accountable not just for my family, not just for my walk, but for your walk. And if I've overseen and if the pastors oversee well. Our job is to feed you. That's one way to care as shepherds for the flock. So Paul kind of gives two things, feeding and warning. Do you know that Jesus actually told Peter something very similar to this? After Peter had denied the Lord three times And Jesus has resurrected and he meets with Peter on the beach. He actually gives him in charge of something very similar. I'd like for us to look at that. Keep your finger here in Acts and go back to John. John chapter 21. The Gospel of John, verse 15, we will see where Jesus is reinstating Peter. And so what I think it gives us that imagery in regards to why Paul understands this. Certainly this is not Paul, but we understand that the same truth of what the calling is to be a pastor and shepherd is the same even here. Verse 15, when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Verse 16. He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Now let me just take these two words, because he comes back again and he says, "Feed another time." That tend is the imagery of overseeing. Tend to it, take care of it. But Peter, your job, you better feed the sheep. Why? If you don't feed the sheep starve. If you don't feed the sheep may not have the doctrinal truth that they need. So Peter, feed them. Feed them well. And so when Paul is talking about this to the pastors in Acts 20, and he says, you make certain that you care for yourself and then care for the church. Small group leaders, family leaders, you can't pour out what's not being poured in. It is a dangerous position to teach and preach from a dry well. I was close to that one time. I remember standing before you and thinking when I preached that, this was years ago, I shared with this some of you, and I thought, Lord, I don't have much to give. It was a moment of busyness and I had not done a good job of caring for myself, of making certain I was protecting the time with the Lord like I needed to. And man, what a miserable feeling that was. That's why I want to protect myself. Because I want to be like an artesian well that just keeps on coming. I want to be with the Lord because I want to grow in my knowledge of Him. I want to be able to teach, as I love the expression, from the overflow. Not just from the scraps. I want to provide you the main course and feed you well and teach you well. So that you're getting rooted in the doctrinal teachings of the Word of God. Now, understand something. You remember last week we looked at where Paul says that he was innocent of the people's blood, and we saw the imagery connected to Ezekiel 33 where the prophet talked about how we are watchmen. Well, now he's talking in this particular passage, I think making another allusion to the prophet Ezekiel, because he's talking about how we're supposed to feed and tend. Because in Ezekiel 34, the prophet actually records Jesus' warning to the shepherds who didn't take care of the flock. And they were only thinking about themselves selfishly. I want you to turn there with me. So keep your finger here in Acts 20. Go back to the prophet Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34. So again, this is after the imagery that was given to make certain that we are watchmen standing out on the edge of the outer property line, if you will, there as the imagery was given, looking to see if the enemy is coming. In Ezekiel 34... this says to us, God cares for the sheep to be fed. Listen, if a pastor, a shepherd, is not doing his job, God cares deeply when the church is not being shepherded well. You see it right here in Exodus 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you've not strengthened. The sick you've not healed. The injured you've not bound up. The strayed you've not brought back. The lost You've not sought, and with force and harshness you've ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. That's a dangerous place to be. That tells us what shepherds' jobs are. You're wandering? Go reach them. You're sick? Go pray for them. If they're not being what they need to be, or they're stray, go get them. That's a shepherd's job. You know what that means? Sometimes we have to get involved in your lives. Not to simply meddle, but because of your soul. Shepherds, in the imagery that was there, they knew their sheep. That's why Jesus says in John 10, I'm the good shepherd, and the sheep know my what? Voice. Listen. No matter if God grows our church to 1,000 people, I want you to hear me. I want you to know that I will always lead our shepherds to be accessible to you. I want us to make certain that we shepherd as best as we possibly can. Now go back to Acts 20. Why is it necessary? He says there in Acts chapter 20, that you're going to care for yourselves, you're going to care for the flock by feeding them. And he tells them the reason why. We've alluded to it already in verse 29. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you. Now, I want to make sure very clear that you understand the wolves in context. He's talking about false teachers. But notice the direction where the false teachers will come from. It's two directions. False, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men, speaking twisted things. If a shepherd is not paying attention, false teachers can come into the church, start teaching, maybe not waving a flag that they're a false teacher, but slowly ebbs in, becomes leader, and starts teaching. And maybe if the shepherds aren't doing a good job of checks and balances of who's teaching, who's been mentored, and then they start teaching a small group, and a little bit we kind of catch wave of things, and then pretty soon someone else within the church starts springing up and buying into those particular things. Paul is saying, look, shepherds, you need to pay attention because they're going to come. Listen, the question is not if they will come, the question is when they will come. And listen, it can be also not necessarily people just coming to the church. There are people who claim to be pastors and shepherds and authors and Christian speakers, and they all say some good stuff. But some of the good stuff can be tainted with some falsehood. How much falsehood do you need to taint truth? One thing. I like to illustrate this way. Now listen closely. How much poop will it take to mess up your chocolate cake? You thought I was going to say something deep, didn't you? Y'all are like, Pastor's about to say something, you better listen. Point taken. And this is what we need to think, because sometimes we can say, for example, we'll say, man, I really like this person X, you know, whatever it is, you know, whether it's a person, it's a pastor, or it's a radio speaker, or whatever it may be. But they said, man, they got this one thing I just don't seem to like too much. But here's the thing, if there's one thing that's questionable, then what else might be questionable? You have to be careful in regards to what you're exposing yourself to, because pretty soon you'll begin to start kind of ebbing over to that and thinking, well, maybe it's actually okay. Paul's saying we have to make certain that we're warning ourselves because they're going to come. We have to be ready for them. If you were to say to me, Pastor, I'm always ready and able to know when wolves are coming. Sometimes we need other people to warn us because we may not be able to see them ourselves. I illustrate this. When I was younger, we had bottle calves that we raised from just a couple of days old. We did that for all of my childhood, and we had to feed them early in the morning before the sun came up, and as soon as we got home from school and right before we went to bed. And one time, it was just my dad and I. We went down to the barn. My two brothers, for whatever reason, didn't go that particular time. And it's in the dark, you know, we have flashlights. It was before those bright LEDs, just those little bitty small incandescent. I mean, you light that thing now, you find the flashlight, you're like, how in the world do we even see anything in that? So we're walking down there, and all of a sudden, my dad I'm like, what are you doing? He said, you didn't see the snake by your foot? No, I didn't. Now, it wasn't huge, but it was small. But my dad was seeing something I didn't see. And it was right by my foot. In a doctrinal way, sometimes we can be so close to something that we may not actually see, and someone else needs to stomp on it and let us know. Illustrate another way. When I would be in my pasture with my grandfather, he had a bull that we called Big D. This bull weighed about 2,200 pounds. He was massive. And if he wanted to eat grass on the other side of the fence, you let him eat grass on the other side of the fence because he was Big D. He would eat in the pasture. You know the whole phrase that the grass is always green on the other side. I mean, he could have grass galore, 40 acres of grass, but they're going to put their head over the fence and reach on the other side. But my grandfather always said, if you're going to be in the pasture, never turn your back on Big D. He would look at you, but he waited when you weren't looking. And then Big D came a running. And you would think Big D would make a bunch of noise, but I'm telling you, that 2,200-pound bull could get right up on you before you knew it. You have to be aware. Paul is given this imagery to make certain that we are caring for ourselves so that we also can recognize that the wolves will come and they're not always going to make a bunch of noise. They're not always going to be waving a flag and saying, I'm a false teacher. Hey, don't listen to anything I say. I'll give you another illustration. A couple years ago, broad daylight, I walked down the back porch and Liz was playing in the side yard with the kids. This is broad daylight. And a huge fox steps out of the woods and just looks at them. Probably no farther away from me to the back of you. And I just say, why don't you slowly walk over here? Now some of you say, it's just a fox. Have you watched wild animals? Now, he may have been completely harmless, but most of the time foxes don't come out in the middle of the day. Right, Jason Gerritsen? So while they're walking, I'm watching. Because if that fox makes a beeline, I'm making one too. Not away, but to him, because I'm going to protect my family. I want you to understand that there is a need for us to understand. We have to watch. Because Satan is vigilant, and as Peter uses, he's like a roaring lion, seeking someone, not just to nibble on, to devour them. I want myself and your pastors to always be faithful to teach the word. Sometimes that may mean to speak something that is truth that may hurt you initially because it's something that you've held to. But know, as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, in that same chapter we looked at, he says, but do these things with love. Our job is to care for you. You know what Jesus, how Jesus described it in Matthew chapter 7? Matthew 7, verse 15 and 16, Jesus says, be careful, for the wolves prowl around in sheep's clothing. Trying to look like a sheep. Trying to just fit in. But you know what some of the wolves say today? There are some wolves that are existing today in prominent teaching. Some of that wolf teaching that exists today is some of the health, wealth, and prosperity stuff that exists. And people are falling for that. That false teaching being, if you have faith, you're guaranteed to be what? Wealthy. Now look, there's nothing wrong with wealth, is there? There's nothing wrong with riches as long as they're being used for the glory of Christ. But to use Christ as a means just to get rich, Paul warns Timothy of that. That even in 1 Timothy 6, he says, some have sought godliness as a means for gain. And some people are using the name of Christ as a means for gain. Listen to me. If you ever hear someone say to you, just sow into this ministry so that you can be blessed, turn it off. Tell them to sow into you for your benefit and their blessing. Another thing that happens today is false teachings and wolves that exist today is if you believe and say the right things, you're guaranteed you're going to be healed from being sick. I've had someone in the history of pastoring who got upset because I would not agree that every person who's sick is always going to be healed. That's one of the wolves that happen today. People who hold to that, cling to that. Now, can God heal? Look at our church. People who have healed. But has God healed every person? But we've prayed diligently for people to be healed. I think of one faithful servant. I think of Jeanette Duckin, who fought cancer to the very end. Now, she's healed now. Listen, there's other wolves that exist today. It's not necessarily in the church, but there's wolves throughout the world where Satan just has a rhetoric that just exists. Let me tell you, one of the wolves that existing today is about sexuality. And the whole aspect that it's okay to do what you want to do. Listen to me, this is where you in the home have to be careful. If you're numb to what's taking place, then media is simply going to cause you to be numb to what is existing today, what is the acceptance of everything that's there. The truth, though, of the Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is those who are sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no way around that. I'm going to tell you one more wolf. It's not even related to any of those. That some people would not think it's a wolf, and I'm going to tell you, it's about salvation. And that is this. Just say this simple prayer, and you're guaranteed to be in. Just say, I'm a sinner, and believe in you, Jesus, and I'm in. Paul says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. There has to be genuine repentance, authentic commitment. It's not just word repetition. You can recite whatever you want to recite. But there must be true, authentic repentance and calling out to Jesus. That's why you ask someone, are you willing to give your life to Christ? Are you willing, as Jesus says in Luke 9:23, confess your sins? Are you willing to deny yourself and come after me? It is a true calling out. There's discernment that happens there. But listen to me. There's, even on the radio today, where someone just says, say this prayer. To say this prayer and you will be saved. Guaranteed you're into the kingdom of God. Where's repentance? Amen. Oh, how that there may be people who think that they're saved when they're actually not. That's one of the wolves that I'm talking about. And those people may mean well. Can God save by saying, I'm a sinner, you're the Savior, and I need healing? Can God save you if you say, I need healing from my sin and save my soul? Yes. But it must be authentic and genuine and real. That's why I'm saying that God is calling us to speak what is true. See this passage of Scripture. In Acts 20, Paul cared deeply, and I want you to hear this passage of Scripture is very dear to me because I want to care for you. Well, I want you, small group leaders, to care for your own little flock of your small group. Well, care for those children's classes. Well, care for those preschool classes. well, so they may raise up and be mighty men and women for God. So I ask you this morning, are you prepared to recognize the wolf? Maybe this morning you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm not at a point where I can. Then here's my challenge to you. Go back to the first challenge and pay careful attention to yourself so that you can get ready. And Paul goes on in this passage of Scripture, in all of this, he says to them, don't just care for yourselves, don't just care for the flock. And then he challenges them, he says, make certain though that you're caring for the weak that's among you. Why would he challenge him to care for the weak? Because the weak are the ones that are susceptible to be sucked away. Look at the text to wrap it up in summation. Verse 32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Let me just comment very briefly. Paul is basically saying, look, even I give you this warning, I have to trust the word of God to do his work and to build you up. So even on this afternoon, when we leave from this place and the times that we get to have face-to-face conversations, and I pray for you throughout the week, I'm trusting this passage of truth. I'm trusting God's word to build you up. I can't, your small group leaders can't be with you 24/7, but the Holy Spirit is with you. And we can trust. And even when you're teaching those little children and you're wondering, are they getting anything that I'm saying to them? You have to trust what Isaiah says, that the word of God is powerful and it will not return void. We trust the word of God to grip the heart, the mind, and the soul. Otherwise, why would we stand and teach it? Why would we expound upon it when teach it? Because we're trusting the Spirit of God in the word to penetrate where it needs to penetrate. As Hebrews says, to penetrate even to the deepness of the marrow of the bone, the deepest core of our being. We trust. So practically what this means is tomorrow and on Tuesday, I'm trusting that what I've been chewing on all week long, that you get to chew on all next week long. And that the Spirit will rise it up. And when you begin to get susceptible and begin to wonder, that the Lord will remind you, hey, get in the Word. So you'll be prepared. So Paul challenged them that way. And then verse 23, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands minister to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things I have shown that by working hard in this way, we must help the who? Weak. And remembrance of the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul is saying, we got to care for the flock. But you got to make certain that you're looking out for the weak as well. Because that's the weak ones. Take the wolf analogy. The wolf is going to go for the weak sheep. So Jared and to Andrew, my fellow staff members, we have a calling. Small group leaders. Our two purposes of our small groups are to disciple and to care. I need your help to care. I'm going to be very practical with you. In the busyness of building our church on 434, I need extra caretakers. It's a busy season. It's a busy season in my life right now to help manage that building. I will be glad when it's done. Because I don't feel like I'm able to shepherd as much as I normally do. So one, hear your heart, my heart. If you need me, I'm in the building. Come get me. I mean that. If you need something, I will drop what I'm doing for you. If it means we have to wait till February, I'll drop it. Your soul is more important than carpet getting in on time in December. Only one person said amen. I want on the carpet in December, Pastor, please. Now listen, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a small group leader to help care for this church. You don't have to have a title. Let's care for each other and point people to Christ, encouraging one another. Family leaders, whether you're a single mom, whether you're a Christian spouse and your other spouse is not, whatever your role is, let's feed our flock in our homes so that we can be protected from the wolves. Let's do it together for the sake of Christ. My last charge is this. Do you know somebody who has fallen prey to a wolf, to a false teacher, to false teaching? Then care for them. Reach to them. Speak truth to them. And then trust what Paul says. Trust God's word, not your rhetoric, not your volume, but trust God's word to reach them. Now, if you're here and you've not yet come to faith in Christ and you say, I don't even know that there's wolves out there. Exactly! Because if you haven't come to faith in Christ, you are oblivious. It's until you come to faith in Christ when the Spirit of God comes inside of you and helps you to be able to discern from the truth, from the error. So I say to you as a warning, if you haven't come to faith in Christ, the wolves are already reaching you. Come! Come to Christ and let Him rescue you from the wolves that are everywhere. Let's pray. God, thank you for the truth of your word. From this text, God, I pray that we as pastors will shepherd Redemption Church well. God, we need you. We are humbly calling out to you to be good shepherds, to feed the flock well, to care for their souls. God, I pray for our small group leaders who assist us and aid us in helping to care for the flock. Empower them. Give them shepherding hearts and care for the people in their groups, whether they are adults or whether they are children. Father, if there are any in this room or those who are listening by streaming right now who have been questioning maybe some things that they're hearing, maybe even to the danger of possibly buying into something that is false, Lord, I claim the truth of your word that you say to us that when we are saved, that you give us the Holy Spirit to help us, to teach us, and to guide us. So God, I pray that the Holy Spirit who lives in us as believers, if there's any in this room who are listening, who are beginning to stray away from doctrinal soundness, God, may you rise up with the Spirit of God that's in them and convict and draw them back to what is true. God, grow us deep in the word as individuals, as pastors, as small group leaders, as family leaders, as individuals, so that we can be able to discern even the wolves that we can't even see now. Give us the ability to grow deep in the word so that when brothers or sisters may begin to fall prey to a wolf, that we can send out the beck and call and sound the alarm. God, I pray that if there are any as a part of Redemption Church that are not here this morning who have been pulled away from erroneous teaching, from the mindset of the world, then God, wherever they are this moment, would you reach them? Would you convict them? Would you draw them back to you? Would you draw them to repentance and then help them to recognize that there's forgiveness in Christ? That there's no judgment here because the word says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And God, I pray for us that we would be bold to speak your truth. We'd be gracious to speak what is true. God, if there's any here today, or any that listen today, or whether they listen in 2 years from the podcast and the video that will be up on our website, God, if there's any who have yet to come to faith in Christ, and they don't even recognize that they've been pulled away by false teaching and the teaching of the world, then God, open their eyes in this very moment to see your salvation, your grace, and your redemption that's available in Christ. God, call them repentance. May they call out. May they turn from sin and say they believe in Christ. Say they believe in the risen Son of God. They're willing to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow you. God, would you make that happen today? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that even when we fail, that you are the good shepherd and you shepherd us well. Now, Lord, as we sing this song, it is our prayer to you, O God, to honor you with our whole life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now stand, church. I will be here. Our youth pastor Jared will be here as well if you need prayer for anything. But let's sing this song as a prayer to our Lord.